Good afternoon. Today is Friday, July the 25th, 109th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, Simple Country Therapist, 209th.
Yeah.
I flipped a digit there.
There you go.
Mr. Quimby is along. Noted mathematician Lou Quimby is along.
I flipped the digit once myself.
Did you? Yeah. Did you do any time because of it?
No.
Oh, good. So nobody saw it.
No.
Yeah.
We got 200 days left or 200 days into it. Halfway through.
We got 165
to go. That's
five,
right. That's
5 months.
That's about right.
Yeah. Gee.
Yeah.
Amazing,
time
but
flies
true.
When you're having fun.
Yes. And it will fly more so. Now, it might be a death spiral, but it will fly more when we return.
It will indeed.
Music from your trip to Latin America? You are invited to listen to the newest member of our radio family, 1790 AM, a Spanish language music station with sports from ESPN and news from CNN Español. If you own a business, invite Juan listeners into your business. For information, call 442-5744 or go to juan790.com. Juan790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It is 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Lou Quimby. But before we do, our quote this afternoon.
More than any time in history, mankind faces a crossroads. One path leads to despair and utter hopelessness, the other to total extinction. Let us pray we have the wisdom to choose correctly. Woody Allen.
That noted upbeat guy.
Woody yeah. Allen, the upbeat guy. That cracks me up. Let's pray we have the wisdom to choose correctly.
Oh, boy.
Well, that's like, do you walk to work or take your lunch?
Yeah, no kidding.
It's, you know, which evil do you choose? The lesser evil, the better evil, the good evil, the bad evil, the less contentious evil? What? How do you choose between two? Well, there's generally a third option in there somewhere.
It's called get out and go for a walk.
That's right.
Yeah. Get away from whatever
what
it is.
What does Woody Allen know anyway? He knows plenty, but not about those kinds of choices.
Exactly, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, right. He knows how to direct theater productions.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. So when you're listening to somebody for advice, you got to pay attention to what that person knows, what they believe, what their experience is.
And what they don't know.
And what
and
they
believe
don't know.
And have an experience.
That's right.
I suppose that's probably the biggest challenge a lot of people have with academia.
Don't believe everything you think.
Well, yeah. Yeah, no kidding. Pause and reflect, everyone. But yeah, theory versus experience.
Right.
It's really easy to get sucked up in theory.
Oh, yes.
If you forget to ask.
And particularly if you haven't been there and done that.
A couple of times.
Yes, right.
Yeah. It's a trend. It happened once.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So as a therapist, I deal with marriage, family, children, drug addiction, alcoholism.
You get drug addicts coming in?
Oh, sure. But
prescriptive drugs
I'm
primarily?
Not a father. I'm not a parent.
Yeah, you're not my friend either. Get away.
I'm not an alcoholic. I'm not a drug addict. Right?
Right.
But I do deal in relationships. So somebody says, well, you're not a drug addict. What do you know? I know about relationships. You don't have to be a mother or a father right, to know about relationships. You have to study relationships. So I do. So I know about relationships.
Have you seen, but just a quick...
Remember the difference between...
You're not going to let me deviate here, are you?
All right, deviate. Go ahead, deviant. See have if you I see, care.
Have you seen a change in the types of drugs being abused in the last
my lifetime?
20, in the last 20 years?
Oh, sure.
You're seeing a change also.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. It's,
that was it.
Yeah, okay.
Back on the rail.
Well,
Did your train stop already?
My train stopped. Took a siding and stopped.
Can't get back
what
up.
What was I going to say?
You've fallen and can't get up?
I've fallen and And then there's that woman who started skydiving at 85. And she did all the ground school. She was getting ready for her first jump. And so she wanted to do that by herself, her first jump, right? She had all the ground school. So she got up there. And she froze, and so she got on her microphone, her little talkie radio, to her instructor who was on the ground, and she says, "I've gotten up, and I can't fall down." There's always that.
Yeah.
Something about relationships I forgot, but it'll come back. It always does.
It's always timing.
It's always timing, yeah.
The concept of despair. I would think that there's a gradation. A vertical gradation.
Yeah, there is.
So if you catch yourself getting into that downward cycle, what are some of the coping mechanisms?
Well, I was told when I was training as a therapist the difference between despair and depression. Despair is when you recognize external world circumstances as very, very sad. And depression has to do with an internal fight that has other solutions besides good, bad, good, bad, good, bad, good, bad, which depression keeps perpetrating. But if you look at the recent unpleasantry in Israel and the Gaza Strip, et cetera, and one side is storing weapons in schools and hospitals and mosques, and the other side is doing their own evil stuff, right? And you got enough on both sides to
make a war.
To make a war, which is very despairing because it's, as you know, it's always the people in the middle. The women and the children are the one that get short shrift. Always. That's where it starts, and then it escalates up to the young men who get killed in battle, and then, right? Where does it stop? Well, if you study history, there's no reason to believe that it stops. Because that's based on hope. I hope it'll stop. And it won't stop. Then you have choice about what you're going to do about the recurrence of that. And therein lies the choice, the rational choice, without the feelings of helplessness. Well, that's an acquired taste. It's not something that you develop easily. And you have to get hardened. If you're going to be a diplomat and go work on things in the Middle East, you can't be too romantic or too soft-hearted about that, or you'll wind up in the dustbin all year long, babbling.
You'll be with the women and the children.
You'll be with the women and the children,
so to speak,
right?
In the analogy.
Yeah, you'll be a psychological
mess.
Casualty.
It's 319.
Nearly half a century in the news business should count for something. I'm Dave Silverbrand, and that's how long I've been watching the world go by. Now it's time to put it in perspective. Join me each weekday for a look at local news and views and what they mean to you from my perspective. Dave's Take Two on KWSW three times each day during the 8, noon, and 5 o'clock hours. Or read them on our website, kwsw980.com.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Luke Wimby. Full agreement all the time. Got to be concerned, huh?
Let me tell you.
Why are some people happier than others?
Well, it depends upon their habits. Everybody has got emotional and mental habits. If you think about what comes out of your mouth, that is going to be triggered by how you think and how you feel. Frequently, how you feel is triggered by what you think. And if you go, "Oh, geez, look at this day." Well, you start off with the, "Oh, geez. You know, it's a beautiful day, but I'm in here, I'm not out there." Or it's a foggy day out there, and you go, "It's a foggy day out there. I don't want to go out there because," right? So you're never happy, right? So the pessimist says the glass is half full. The optimist says, no, he says it's half empty. The optimist says it's half full. And the engineer says, the glass is the wrong size.
Yeah.
Right? Which is irrational, but no feelings about it. So it depends on what you're trained and how you allow yourself or your family of origin trained you in how to feel, habitually respond. People, for example, that say grace before meals every night habitually have a start to breaking bread together that is calm and comfortable and productive. Now, some people can say grace every night and then still get into a great big knockdown, drag-out fight simply because the saying of grace is a ritual that they don't integrate. But lots of people say grace and they integrate it. They mean it. And so they have a pleasant dinner and they're happy for their day and they're good to go with that. So it depends on a lot of training.
Not being one, either bipolar or manic.
Yeah.
The highs. What is the difference? Is it a chemical imbalance that allows those elevated highs to be there? Because I would think most people wouldn't mind being happy. Overly productive.
Happy is different than high.
Well, I mean, going through that cycle where they become where those folks, at least the ones I've been privileged to know, are much more productive. They get a whole bunch of stuff done.
And
they are happier.
And then they often crash.
And then it comes down.
Right.
Yeah. So during that period of the up.
Creativity, the up, right?
Yeah.
They're hard to live with.
What is that? Is that a part of the chemical imbalance, or is that the brain being trained to be able to hold for a period of time those things?
Nurture nature. Nurture is how you're raised and what the rules are in your family of origin and how you're treated. And nature is the biology, the genetics, right? So parents got those two jobs. They got food, clothing, shelter, and do your homework. That's job one. And most people have that pretty well taken care of. Food, clothing, shelter, and do your homework. They got a lunch money. They get a bicycle.
Don't forget lawn mowing.
And then the lawn mowing. That's part of do your homework. And the second job a parent has is to pay attention to a child's personhood. How you think, feel, believe, what's important to you, what your value system is, your growing value system. What do you like at school, what you don't like at school, and how come, et cetera, et cetera. Well, that requires non-judgmental real time to listen to a child. And if you got more than one, or if you're a busy person, listening to somebody requires real time patience. And sometimes parents don't have a lot of time or interest in listening to a child's development. Okay. If by nature they have any imbalance in their brain chemistry, let's say bipolar, they're tending toward bipolar, and they don't get their personhood paid attention to, and their bipolar starts coming out and they go on a run, say in the third grade or the sixth grade or the ninth grade.
Is it a physical run or?
Creative. Some people get into a play in school and they're fabulous in the play and they help direct it or produce it, or and then some plays have several parts and then blah blah blah. So all of a sudden the kid learns that if they're dramatic and good at it, they get lots and lots of attention, which they don't get at home, for example. So now you got this double whammy where they get lots of attention, which of course doesn't last because the play is developed. Then the play is done. Then the play is over.
The curtain comes down.
And then the curtain comes down on the last night. Oh, dear, what happens? Well, a lot of actors get drunk. Okay, so if you're bipolar, then maybe you crash. If you're smart, which doesn't necessarily go well with planning for bipolar, you have another play that you're already rehearsing.
So the curtain never closes.
The curtain never closes. So you're always in. There's no break. You're always in transition. You're always working. Well, it doesn't always work that way. The industry doesn't always work that way. So some people are between and don't know how to deal with themselves. Who loves me? if they only get adulation and okayness from external circumstances, then they're going to drop like a rock.
So is that reality versus fantasy?
Yes, a large part of that is.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:30. We'll be back with more from Luke Quimby.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Lou Quimby. Lou, the concept of role-playing, whether it's theater production, whether it's a paid position, whether it's, okay, I'm going to have good cop, bad cop,
yeah,
you know, or you know, the puppy dog eyes for candy or whatever it happens to be. Do people learn these various roles?
Oh, sure. You watch kids. If you watch babies watching around them, you watch babies, what they look at, what they focus on. And then if you, depending on the age of the child, and you watch babies watching, and then you watch babies as they watch how they move, and sometimes you will see them imitating the grown-up's movements. And it's all learning by example. I mean, that's how.
So why don't we retain that, or do we just modify
why
it
don't
as we
retain
grow,
it?
Or do we modify as we grow? I mean, I haven't seen you drop on the floor and wiggle around, wanting some of the candy.
Well, I won't do that in front of you.
Only at home. Okay.
I'm going to do that in front of my wife. I mean, you got to know me well enough. Now, think about what I just said. Some actors will do things on the screen. And they won't do them at the restaurant, but they'll do it in front of their wife. But they won't do it in public, right, when they're on the red carpet, when they're being interviewed and blah, blah, blah. And some people come to the red carpet drunker than a skunk and don't really care what their impression is, looks like to other people. You know, give me the paycheck for the big movie, blah, blah, blah. And then you get other actors who have a huge range, like Tom Hanks. He's got a huge range, but he doesn't hurt himself in public or in his private life, as far as I know. He's got a huge range.
So why is it the Jimmy Stewarts, the Fred McMurrays, the Tom Hanks?
Yeah, I think it's about...
Are, if you had the opportunity to sit down with them, they're normal-ish.
Yeah.
All right. Nobody making that kind of money is going to be really normal.
Well,
with the adulation and everything associated with it. But we could say that they're normal and such, and they're known by being the vast minority.
Right.
Rather than
the Hollywood stuff.
All of the others who are not able to cope, handle, mature, whatever it is, with that lifestyle.
Virginia Satir, who is a world-class psychotherapist, once said, 80% of the people you meet have significant dysfunction. Well, if you look at that in terms of class or population, politicians, mothers, fathers, ditch diggers, 80% of the people you meet, airline pilots, you know, those two American Airlines pilots that caught drinking in the bar in Seattle before they went on to take their plane away. Well, okay, there's the 20% of airline pilots, okay. So the dysfunction is not a respecter of any class or occupational specialty or blah, blah, or anything. So if you look at the dysfunction, then you go, oh, well, okay, pretty much worldwide. Schizophrenia and homosexuality is pretty much the same percentage worldwide.
Cross cultures, pretty standard.
So you look at that and you go, statistics are pretty much the same cross-culture. I wonder if that's organic. I wonder if just that's the way it is and people are born that way. You go, well, that's an interesting idea. Okay. So you start looking at that, and then you look at the nurture and the nature, and you look at what kind of nurturing, what kind of childhood upbringing could push somebody in a dysfunctional direction if they have any organic depression in their brain chemistry. What could push them into an exacerbation of that?
Or save them.
Or save them, right. And if they have a tendency toward organic major depression, they're going to be on drugs somewhere in their life, right? But they don't have to be suicidal to get there. So if you got somebody with a quiet disposition and a depressed, then you do a little extra stroking and a little extra support for them. As opposed to some people who come home and eat their dinner and go back to work, and they're quite happy, right? They don't need a whole lot of support. They need some. But other people need more support than others. So part of a parent's job is to recognize when that's true. Well, this is part of what makes parenting the toughest job in the world. Parenting is the toughest job in the world because there are so many judgment calls involved in it. And when your parents, you got two or three or four kids, and your parent, and sometimes it's a single parent family, or sometimes it's two parents working, there's an awful lot of time spent just on surviving stuff. Food, clothing, shelter, work, keep the house clean, wash the car, go back to work, come home from work, go out for a movie, pay the babysitter. There's a lot of things are tight, right? So it's kind of the luck of the draw sometimes. And then when people get older, then they're responsible for themselves. Now, when you're responsible for yourself, you can go one of two ways. You can go, oh dear, I learned some things that don't work well. I need to change that. Or you can go, my mother and father really screwed me up, made me the mess I am today. So it's not my fault. So step aside. Make room for me. Because I have a sense of entitlement. Because I had a bad childhood. You get to give me lots and lots of slack. Well, that's not going to work really well.
No, that's not a bonding move, is it?
It's not a bonding move. If you get really drunk or on drugs and you drive and the police catch you, that all that childhood stuff doesn't work, right? And if you have a car and you got a bong or a couple of rocks of crack, another, it's not mine. My friend borrowed the car and he goes, they don't understand the issue of constructive receipt. If you're driving the car, you're responsible for everything in it, period. Well, that's kind of the way it is. After you're 18 or 21, if you're living your life, you're responsible for everything in it. And if it's not working, you get to pay attention to that as opposed to blaming.
KINS News and Information Times 342. We'll be back with more from Lou Quimby.
Attention 6th and 7th grade students. Plan now to attend the Ideas at Work Middle School Career Camp at College of the Redwoods this June. Campers take part in fun, hands-on projects in high-tech labs, tour businesses, and explore careers. There is no cost for this camp, but space is limited. Learn more and apply online at decadeofdifference.org or call 445-7563. Don't wait. Sign up today at decadeofdifference.org and be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 346, final couple minutes of the week with Lou Quimby. Lou, the concept of celebrities, post-celebrity dumb.
No planning, big well, depression,
some go
drugs,
very,
alcohol.
Some transition very nicely.
Yes, they
do. The young gal who decides she wants to raise a family.
Yeah.
Boom, and disappears for 20 years.
Which
and then comes back with a different role.
Probably thought about that for a while.
The guy who, you know, is the sports guy.
Yeah.
Who does whatever and decides, okay, I'm going to walk away, like the kid up in Seattle earlier this week. I'm not turning my back. I'm looking forward to something else.
That's right. And one of the ways that happens is when people look at what they're doing not as an entire lifestyle, but as, well, this is an interesting part of my life. And when this is over, then I want to do this and this and this. For example, some people want to join the Peace Corps. Some people want to go into Rotary and build a business and become mayor, blah, 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 right? So it depends also on how many aspects of their life they are paying attention to. You know, physical, emotional, intellectual, social, spiritual. Well, if you're an athlete, There has to be a huge physical and intellectual component, or else you don't make the grade. Because without the intellectual discipline, you're not going to
You'll get to that level.
Your body's not going to pay attention to you, right? Yeah. So then comes the emotional stuff, and if you get high on the emotional stuff, pretty much only on the adulation and the money and blah blah blah, and you could get stuck in that. But if it's balanced, then you know that your body's only good for so long, and you plan ahead for that, and you look around, and you go, well, let's see, most guys are good here until their late 20s. And I'm 22, so let's say I got 5 good years left. How am I going to spend those? How do I plan those? What do I do about my money? And what do I do afterwards? What's a late 20s guy going to do to make his life interesting or worthwhile? Well, he's got 5 years to play around with that, look at that, talk about that, talk to people who've done it, other athletes who have retired early.
And transitioned successfully.
Other athletes who have not transitioned early. There's a support group for athletes about suicide, because a lot of them just don't plan. If you get out all of a sudden, oh, let's say
blow a knee.
Let's say you blow a knee. I mean, just it's gone. G-O-N-E, gone. There's no return. Knee surgery isn't going to help. New knee is not going to help. You just it's gone. Well, you get that big bucket of cold water thrown in your face, and you have no other flexibility, no other emotional choices, you can get suicidal very quickly. And if you're only used to the adulation that comes from the physicality of performing, gee, you got some transitions to make there about personal value and personal self-worth. It's not just based on performance. So a lot of people put all their eggs in one basket, hand the basket to somebody else or something else. And then something or somebody else drops that basket, breaks the eggs, and they're not taking care of their own resources. That's not good.
That's high tuition.
Yes. Yes.
In the school of life. Huh? Like that analogy?
High tuition.
Little education there at the end of the week.
That's
okay.
Right.
Thanks for coming by.
You bet.
We've been Talking Shop this afternoon with Lou Quimby. Join us Monday afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug somebody you love. See you tomorrow morning.